Talk about the season of Lent, because it starts tomorrow. So, what is Lent all about? Why do we have to go through this season? The purpose is to get us ready for Easter. Basically, that's what it is. Why? Why did the church want us to get ready for Easter? Why do we have to go through this? Well, because we need to be more like Jesus. That's why we're going through this. It's what we are doing and how we are doing it. Are we doing it like Jesus? Will Jesus do it that way? At Easter, the catechumens will make their baptism promises that night at the vigil. But we all will renew our baptism during the Easter season. And those promises that we make gives us the restart to being like Jesus again. Between the 40 days of Lent and the 50 days of Easter season, we should have everything we need and all the power we need to supply us for the rest of the year to be more like Jesus. Now, we're human, and that's why we go to church every week, because we got to sometimes get energized again and come out and to be more like Jesus, to act more like Jesus. You might probably will hear this a little bit more throughout the Lenten season at our church. Why we do this? Why do we go to Lent? Why do we have Lent? Why do we want to be more like Jesus? Because that is the theme for OLA this year, for Lent. Okay, Father Leon, Father Matthew, the deacons, we all came up with this theme. So you'll hear it scattered throughout homilies and through the season of Lent. So like I said, tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. Tomorrow we begin the season of Lent, and Lent is 40 days, and 40 days is really symbolic in our church. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights before he got the commandments. The Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, and Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 is a big thing for our church. The color you'll see is purple, mostly purple, but you will see a pink. What does that remind you of? Advent. Right. A lot of people want to connect Advent and Lent together. They are similar in some ways, but they're also very different in a lot of ways. Okay? Advent is more joyous. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, getting together with family and friends. It's a holiday kind of spirit. And Lent isn't it. Lent is more single for you to go through this process. You'll notice that when you go to Mass, we will not be singing the Alleluia anymore. If you guys were at the rite of election on Sunday, you'll notice we didn't sing the Alleluia before the Gospel because we were reading the readings for the first Sunday of Advent. So and they were wearing purple. Did you notice they were already in purple? First Sunday of Lent. So we omit the Alleluia. So you'll notice that we will omit it during church. And we will not sing the Gloria as well. And that's just to get our attention. We change the color to purple. We omit things during the Mass, and that's to catch our attention, like, oh, something's going on here. Just to remind you what season we're in. So, what do you hit? So what do we do to get ourselves ready and prepare ourselves for Lent and for the Easter season? Well, there's a lot of things you can do. A lot of people sometimes will look at Lent like, God, I've got to go through this. What am I going to give up? What am I going to do? I'm not going to be able to watch TV. I'm not going to be able to play my game. And they really look at it as a punishment. Like, you're going to be punished for the next 40 days. Well, God doesn't want us to be punished. He doesn't want us to be unhappy. He wants us to be happy. You should be wanting to do something special during these 40 days so you can open yourself up more to God. So God is there to talk to you and to listen to you. Sometimes when we challenge ourselves, we come out looking a lot better after we go through something. So I always tell people, challenge yourself with Lent. Challenge yourself with something. And you know what? We're all going to fail. I mean, there will be times that we will fail doing whatever we've chosen. Like, I'm going to get up 10 minutes early before I have to get ready for work, and I'm going to read a passage, a Bible Bible passage. I'm going to listen to a reflection on the on my iPad. I'm going to do something. There could be a time that you accidentally slip in, and oh, you got to get the words. You got to get in. Go. And so we all will do it. But that's why we're all together as a community. That's why we go to church together. That's why we're here together in RCIA, because we're supposed to help each other. So for the next 40 days, especially when we come together on Tuesday nights, ask each other, how are you doing with your Lenten promises? How's it going? And support each other. Oh, I know, I did the same thing, but you know what? Pick yourself up and go. Tomorrow's a new day. Go for it. And we can encourage people to keep on going, okay? So there's a lot of, you can do scripture reading. You can go to the Stations of the Cross that we have every Friday night at our church. Like Deacon Don was saying, the university series is another great way to do something different. Of course, going to church, I mean, that's given. If you've already made your confessions, you can go back to confession. You'll notice that during the Lenten season, we do talk about reconciliation a lot. And then, of course, prayer and fasting. So this is a big one. Everybody in the outside world knows that Catholics, you fasting and abstaining during this time of the year. They don't understand why we do it and what we do, but it is a very popular thing, not just actually for the Catholic Church, but it is popular in some Protestant churches as well. Fasting is the quantity of food that you eat. That's the definition of fasting. Abstaining is the kind of food that you eat. Okay? So fasting, you're not supposed to go around hunched over, stomach growling, angry because you're fasting from chocolate, soda, your iPad. You're not supposed to be that way. It's not supposed to be scary to give up something. You're supposed to embrace it. Fasting is a form of prayer, and through it, we can show love. Fasting is a physical activity. The practice affects you on a deeply spiritual plane. When you feel that you're urged to break your fast, stop and listen to God. Now, fasting applies to all Catholics ages 18 to 59. Yeah, I got to do it. We fast on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And we only fast two days out of the Lenten season. So it's not that bad. I mean, you're talking tomorrow. That's why we eat so much tonight. But tomorrow's a fasting day and Good Friday's a fasting day. Yes.
So you're really saying I didn't do this for fasting. Like, we're literally left. Isn't it being stoned for an entire year, which admittedly didn't really have much before that. But is giving him sour for an entire year to overdo? Because no. I did that last year.
Yeah, no, giving him soda for an entire year would be great.
You did.
But definitely for 40 days to get kitty carded. Yeah. So what does fasting need? And everybody's a little different, and it depends on your health. The church does not want you to put yourself at risk. So we have people like diabetics who can't eat one meal in a day. They have to eat little meals throughout the day so they don't have that sugar flow, right? So it depends on your health. But basically, you look at it as having one full meal tomorrow and on Good Friday. Basically means don't snack. Don't snack in between meals. So what I do is that, because I have to eat, I don't have diabetes, but I will get very, you know, jittery if I'm not eating. So I'll eat a pretty plain breakfast tomorrow. I probably will have a piece of toast and maybe a banana. And then I'll try not to snack in between, but I'll probably bring some fruit or vegetables to snack just in case I need something while I'm working. And then at lunch, I'll have like a sandwich, a meatless sandwich or something like that. And then I will have a plain dinner in the evening, like a salad or something. So that if you combine it all, it would be technically like a full meal, but I've just divided it up into three portions. Okay? So think about yourself and your health, and don't put your health in jeopardy too fast. Okay? Abstaining means that you're giving up meat. Okay? So we abstain on Ash Wednesday and all the Fridays, including Good Friday. Why do you think we fast on Good Friday? We abstain from Good Friday too, but we abstain from all Fridays during Lent. But why would we fast on Good Friday? Anybody, what happens on Good Friday? Not the resurrection. That's when he dies. So that is the big day in the Catholic Church. It's the day that Jesus gives up his life for us and he dies on the cross. So that's why we fast on it. So abstaining means that we don't eat meat. And a lot of people go, because it's crazy not to eat meat. In the olden days, we used to not eat meat on every Friday of the year. And some of the Orthodox Catholics still do that. But we, in the Roman Catholic, say that we don't eat meat just during Lent. Okay, so it's not bad. And nowadays, with all these plant products and stuff out there, I mean, you can have chicken that's a plant product and have it on a Friday now. But what's the meat? The meat means no beef, no pork, no chicken. But you can have fish. Okay. And that applies to all Catholics 14 years and older. Are there any questions about fasting and abstaining? Yes.
Then no meal Friday, Wednesday, too, or just tomorrow?
Just tomorrow for Ash Wednesday. Just tomorrow. Keep starting. That's why we have Fat Tuesday today.
So the fasting you're talking about is what we do all together in unison as a family.
Right.
And the church also says other ways of fasting. So, are you getting to that?
I'm getting to that.
So
if you're having some issues with the fasting, like, you know, I don't know if I could fast without food or without my iPad or whatever, there's other ways to fast too. How about one of these? These actually came from Pope Francis. Fast from hurting words and say kind words instead. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worry and have trust in God. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate. And if you like this, you don't have to write it down. I've got it on a paper that I can give to you guys at the end of the day. But this is lovely. If you get to a point where you're like, I can't do this. This is really hard for me. Try one of these or two of these or three of these. This will challenge you too. Really challenge you. So Ash Wednesday starts Lent. It has a history in the Old Testament. You'll see it. The penitential rite, you'll see it a lot in the Old Testament, where people will walk around with ashes that are sinners, and they would walk around the village. And everybody would know, that's a sinner, that's a sinner, that's a sinner. Well, nowadays, I think we would all be grabbing ashes. But it's just to remind us that we are sinners, and that we need to make sure we're reconciled with God to continue. In the Middle Ages is when Ash Wednesday, or ashes, became more private. Instead of being public, it became more private. The ashes remind us of our mortality and the need to repent. And then in the 7th century of our history, ashes started to become the blood for us. So here you go. If you've never seen it before, they will use ashes, and they will put it on your forehead, and they'll say something like, ash, ash, that's the best. Or turn away from sin, turn towards the gospel of the Lord, something like that. You do not have to be fully Catholic. You do not have to have all your sacraments. You do not have to be baptized. And you can participate in Ash Wednesday tomorrow. The question is Ash Wednesday a holy day of obligation? You have to come to Ash Wednesday. No, you don't. Why it's not, I don't know. But it is not a holy day of obligation. But there are a lot of people in this world that everybody comes to Ash Wednesday. There's some superstitions about it that something bad will happen to you between Ash Wednesday and next Ash Wednesday. You should come to Ash Wednesday. A lot of people love it. It kickstarts your Ash, your season of Lent. You will notice that if you come to any of the services tomorrow or the Mass tomorrow, you'll notice a whole bunch of people that you've never seen before. We need to welcome them back to the church. Hopefully they'll stick. But a lot of them just come because they need those actions. So they're on their path, their journey of faith, wherever they are on their path. All right. I have to tell the joke because I say it every year. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, Becky, she went to UC Irvine. She was in a dormitory with a roommate. Her roommate was Buddhist. And so the two of them really got to know each other very well. And Becky had a lot of questions about her faith, and she had a lot of questions about Becky's faith. So they shared a lot of things. So Ashlyn came around, Becky went to a service on campus and got her ashes. She went back to the dorm, and there's her name is Diane. Diane was like going, okay, wait a minute. What is going on? All these people have dirt on their foreheads. So Becky explained to her what Ashlyn Day was, why we do it. And she goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Where do you get the ashes? And if you know her daughter, she's very much like her father. And Becky looked right at her with a serious face and said, dead people. And Diane was horrified. Now, they come from the palms from last year. And actually, today they were burned today, ready for tomorrow for us. Okay? So they are not dead people.
And I might ask, we have preschool children on the watch for burning the ashes. It's a prayer service. And about 4 years ago, I figured out, we got to do a little bit of teaching for the children because the next day, one of the kids started crying, didn't want ashes. They thought they were still hot. They're going to cool down.
There you go. So, between Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday, when we're in the season of Lent, there's a lot of things happening in the church. A lot of things that you're doing. You're going through your Lenten promises. So Ash Wednesday tomorrow here at our church, we have a 5:30 Liturgy of the Word. It's not a mass, it's just a Liturgy of the Word. So it's for people who are working or need to travel to get to Santa Barbara, L.A. Come in at 5:30. Takes about 20 minutes. You'll be out by 30 minutes. You'll be out on the way. 20 minutes. 6:30 is our regular mass, and there will be ashes. 8 o'clock is our mass. You'll have ashes. There are 9:30 for the school and 11 o'clock for the high school.
9:30 for the grade school, 11:30 for the high school.
So you can even come in one of those. 12 to 12:30, if you just can't see yourself going into church for this, they have drive-by ashes. Drive-through in front of the church, and the priest and the clergy will be out there.
Drive-by.
And then at 5:30 we have mass with the ashes again. There is no confessions tomorrow. And then the Spanish have their mass and the ashes at 7:15. So that is our Ash Wednesday services tomorrow. Also throughout Lent, you will see this in the bulletin and on our website. We have a parish mission. It begins on February 27th on Monday evenings or March 1st on Wednesday mornings. And it is just gets you into a deeper meaning and the purpose of Lent. So here's another thing that you can do for the season of Lent. Okay? They're led by Father Matthew, Deacon Don, and Deacon Dan.
The whole team, yeah.
Then we also have our Lenten soup. You guys know about that because we're up first. Next Tuesday night, it's going to be Tuesday night. And we're trying something different because Friday night didn't seem to work as well. But if you have it on Tuesday night, we can actually have a little bit of meat. So, kind of nice, actually. But if it's not our turn to host, come on Tuesday night before we come to class. And from 5 to 6:30 at the Katie Center, which is the hall, come and enjoy dinner with our fellow parishioners. Okay? There you go. See, there we are. February 28th, hosted by RCIA. So don't let us down.
3 o'clock if you want to help.
3 o'clock if you want to help, yep. So now for Friday evenings during Lent, we have Mass at 6:30, and after Mass we have the Stations of the Cross. We're going to go through that and tell you, we're going to do that as a prayer experience, but that is another way, another prayer experience during Lent. And then we have Benediction and Adoration. We've talked a little bit about Benediction and Adoration. So these are things that definitely can be done during Lent. We also have our penance service on Wednesday, March 29th. We will be having it the day before on the 28th. But if by chance somebody's absent or somebody needs to go, you get a second chance on Wednesday. And this is when we invite a whole bunch of different things, and it's open to the whole parish. And so it's kind of nice. If you're a little afraid to go to Father Liam or Father Matthew, there'll be other priests there too. So. All right. So then we're working through our 40 days of Lent, and we come up to Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a Sunday right before Easter. It is also called Passion Sunday because we're celebrating the beginning of Jesus' passage from life to death. So there is a procession that we have in the church. So what does that mean? That means that we are outdoors at the beginning of Mass, just like that. We have palms. And the first, there's actually two Gospels read that day, that Sunday. The first one is read outside. Outside is the Palm Sunday Gospel. So it's Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Everybody's throwing down palms like a red carpet. And here he comes. Everybody's excited. And within a few days, they will crucify him. And then we will actually process into the church. And then we will hear the readings, just like we do in regular Mass. And then the Gospel is the Passion about Jesus being crucified. It's kind of a little bit of Holy Thursday, which is the Last Supper. And then Good Friday is crucifixion. Okay? You will notice on Palm Sunday the colors from purple turns to red. This is passion. Red means passion and love. Jesus says that all for us, for love. You can get your palms. You can put your palms behind a crucifix at your house, behind pictures, or near a prayer station that you may have, or a candle. Save the palms for the year, and then you give them back to the church, and then we'll burn them for next Ash Wednesday. A lot of people will take palms and keep them handy in case there's a crisis. And they will, some farmers, when they know that that plague's coming or something, they'll actually bury the palms in the land, in their fields and crops to ward off any kind of crisis. There's a story of somebody in the Midwest years ago that a tornado was coming. They had no shelter, no tornado shelter. So they ran and got their palms and put them on the porch of their house. And the tornadoes just jumped right off them. And they were safe. So there you go. Keep the palms handy. You never know when you're going to need it. And here's the procession. You can see it's led by, we have big palms that will come in. You can barely see Deacon Don behind them. He's in the red there. So they will, we all process in. And I will go into a little bit more detail about Palm Sunday as I talk about Holy Week as well. And then Holy Week, I will go into much more detail during our retreat about Holy Week. The Holy Week is called the Triduum, the three highest holy days in the Catholic Church. If you like tradition and symbols and all that, these are your days. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Easter Vigil, which will all be it. So you'll have one, but try to mark the calendars for Thursday night, start Thursday night, and then Good Friday, there's a couple of services. No Mass on Good Friday, and I'll tell you why later on. Any questions? All right. So,
we have one.
Keep a little upside down. There's our youngest, or our...
Do you have none.
One? Yeah.
So, Carly was going to ask you, do you have to keep them all on
the... You should. If you get ashes tomorrow, you have to keep them on all day. You really should. You should wipe them off. I'll tell you a story. When I was in high school, I went with one of my best friends, and we went to Grant. Grant was playing Ventura in basketball. But we ran to Sacred Heart and got our ashes, and it was raining that day. So as we were walking back to our car, we kind of put our forehead up and let the rain kind of wash it off because we wanted to go to the basketball game, and we didn't want people to get dirt on our part. But I was a teenager back then. God forgive me.
So remember what we said. If you get an answer, you should also know the answer why. So why would Diana say you should leave them all in our day? How would you answer that? Out of respect to
humble yourself.
Humble yourself. So other people can see. How about that too?
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock mass, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to remind people, you know, every single one of us, however old we were, most of us were infants, when we were baptized, the very first thing the minister did was trace the cross on our forehead. And then said, the parents and godparents do the same. One day a year, we make that cross visible. One day. Why? Well, it's the beginning of Lent. All the good reasons that you said, so other people know that the Catholic can say Lent, that's good. Really, it's what Eric said. It's so that when you look in the mirror all day, and this is why you don't want to wipe it off, right? It reminds you that what's visible today, we all need to make visible every other day, not by marking our forehead, but the way, as Anna said, we act with Jesus. Make sense? So when you go to the mirror and you see that now, make that connection, all right? That after today, I got to make this visible in the way that I have.
All right, so this is one of our grandchildren. She's just posted there. She's just a little side right there. Are you guys okay? Do you need a break? Are you okay to keep going? Or everybody's okay? Did anybody need any food or anything? Okay, let's keep going then. Can I have some people come and help us crack up the bag? Some of the team? Yeah. I have a bag of pins, and I have some bags here. Everybody gets so pass them out to everybody. Hopefully I have enough for everybody.
You want everybody to have a pen as well?
Yeah, if they need a pen. If they need a pen. Okay, and everybody on the Zoom.
Everybody in the background, can you quiet for a minute? Because Santa's had to give instructions to people. We're doing this virtually. How to make it work at home.
Everybody at home, go ahead and find a piece of paper. And you're going to make 9 lines. And then I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to write things on those lines. You're going to have a little space out. Get a journal, get a piece of paper, or something like that. But find yourself some paper, put 9 lines on it, and then and a pen or marker or something.
Pen.
We get to do an activity. Hey, don't start writing anything until I tell you what we're going to do.
Start my diary.
So you'll notice that you'll see these words throughout the season of Lent. You'll see the words for prayer, fast, and giving. Almsgiving, fasting, yeah. Yeah, everybody, if we don't have enough, the team doesn't get one. But everybody else should get one. Did everybody get one? So you'll notice in your bag you have 9 pieces of paper. One is kind of blue color. That's for your prayer. One is pink for fasting. And one is green for giving. So what I want you to do for the next few minutes is on every one of those papers, I want you to write something that you want to do during Lent with those topics. The topics of praying, fasting, and giving. And then this is something you put back in your bag, and during Lent, when you get a little restless, or you feel like you haven't done enough, or you're not doing enough, or something, go to your bag and pull out one of those pieces of paper and do it that day. Okay? Some examples for prayer. Attending morning mass. Take a walk and listen to God or nature. Attend the parish mission. Fasting. You know, you can do your usual fasting or something. Or you can stop, you know, any of those subjects we talked about before. Like gossiping. Fast from anger. Fast from worries, grudges. For fasting, and then giving, increase your donation to something, bring a lunch or dinner to a friend, do an extra chore in your house, Give more time with your family and write a letter to someone, maybe someone you haven't spoken to for a while. Those are just some examples of things that came to my top of my head. If you find yours, you can talk amongst yourself on your table and give each other ideas, and that can help everybody, okay? So I'll give you a few minutes, and then we'll come back.
Carl, do you want one? Is that okay? Thank you. Appreciate it. He was great. People want to pray for him.
You know what, Jack? What you do is you get a pause during that poetry. Maybe you have it ready. You have some on the visual.
Yeah.
You go home. This is Don and I always put them. I think good chocolate. And I have my chocolate ready to go when I come home.
Have a nice drink. There you go. Coke chase.
The Coke chase.
I'm I think the Zoom cut out for them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Did it freeze on your guys' screen before they got kicked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just texted Deacon, but we'll see. I'm going to leave to see if I could rejoin. I don't know if it'll submit it again or not.
Yeah, I'll do the same. We'll hop back in the same one.